Thank you guys and gals so much. Wow, how powerful is that? Oh, I have found a friend in Jesus. He is everything to me. And you know, Jesus has meant so much to me in my life since I asked him to save my soul and my life. Because he saved my soul and my life, because my life was headed in a bad way. It was a lost life, I can tell you. And I'm pretty sure I wouldn't even be here today had the Lord not come into my life when he did. And you know what? I desire to become more like Jesus each and every day that I live, because I owe him everything. And I just don't think there could be a higher goal or pursuit or purpose or objective or a desire in life than to be more like Jesus. Because Jesus is the ultimate in every area of life. Amen? And I want and I need to be more like him. And so we're going to talk about what it looks like today to be more like Jesus. So I want us to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to be more like Jesus. Okay, let's pray. Father God, I cry out to you today that you would help me to be more like Jesus. That I could love like Jesus, think like Jesus, Lord, act like Jesus. Father God, I know that a part of becoming like you is that I will rejoice over the things you rejoice over, and I'd be broken over the things you're broken over, Lord. And God, I know that your heart grieves for for all the earthquake victims, God, and their families. And I pray you'll minister to those people. I pray that somehow that godly people will just be such a witness and such an outreach to them. And Lord God, that you'd protect the people that are responding, trying to help folks, Lord Jesus. Just, we don't understand a lot of things that happen in this old world. We just don't. But God, when we want to know your heart, we look to the cross, and we know that on the cross, Lord Jesus, you defeated death in the grave so that we could have hope. And we know it's because of you. So Lord Jesus, hide me behind the cross today. And I just pray that you will just let us just sense and hear from your Holy Spirit. And I pray this prayer believing in the sweet and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to you. How are you? All right. I know that music didn't put you to sleep. That was awesome music. Thank you, team. Before I begin my message today, I have some exciting news for you. Anybody use some good news today? All right. Many of you know that we've been praying and searching for a student minister since last year. And after much prayer, many resumes, and interviewing potential candidates, we've narrowed down to this one recommendation that we're going to bring to the church. And the guy's name is Dallas Guidry. And Dallas's bio is available at the Connection Center today through February the 26th. And our church will have a special call business meeting on Sunday, February the 26th at 6 p.m. here in the Worship Center. So you'll have the opportunity to meet Dallas and his wife, Abby, and their little one that's only just a few months old that day. And covenant members will have the opportunity to vote and affirm the search team and leadership team's recommendation to extend a call to Dallas to be our next student minister. Of course, everyone's welcome to come to that meeting, right? All right, so if you want to come see how we do business, come on. We'd love to have you, even if you're not a covenant member. But so feel free to pick up a bio and reach out to the office if you have any questions. And we're excited about the future of the student ministry here at North Shore Church. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. And I really appreciate Jay and Andrew and all the work that they've done in the interim to kind of keep things moving along, and they've done an excellent job. And you know, last week we talked about our core value of knowing Christ, right? Today we're going to focus on the second core value, becoming like Christ. It is also a 3:10 value, and which chapter 3, verse 10. And so it's based on Colossians 3:10, and in the New Living Translation translates it this way: put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Isn't that a great core value right there? Amen? All right, we'll get you awake here in a little bit. You got to remember, I preach faster when you say amen every once in a while. So if you want to get out on time, you're going to have to encourage me a little bit. All right, I love that verse. Becoming like Christ is a huge part of what drives us to do what we do at North Shore Church. And in a minute, we'll read that verse in its context and in the NIV version, which I normally use. Last week, we talked about coming to know Jesus as our Savior and being given the promise of eternal life. And how once we know Jesus as our Savior, we don't have to worry about our eternal salvation ever again, because we're saved by His grace and not by our works. And we stay saved by His grace and not by our works. And so we also talked about how we need to learn how to know Jesus also as not only Savior, but as Lord and guide and as the leader of our lives on a daily basis. And each and every day, we need to make the decision to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, our decisions, our choices, our attitudes, our actions, and our pursuits in life. And let me share something really awesome with you. As you and I become more like Jesus, the negative things about our personalities and the wicked things about our attitudes and actions will begin to change. But another amazing thing is that we will maintain our individuality, our personality, and our originality. You see, Jesus made each of us different for a reason. And we all bring different things to the table when it comes to the body of Christ and the building of His church. And so we're not talking about a cookie cutter operation here, folks. We're talking about letting Jesus make each of us the very best iteration of who He intended us to be as individual creations of God Almighty. But we want to be like-minded in our ultimate goals and our desires to bring glory to God and to reach others with the good news of God's love for them. In other words, love God and love people. Sang a song about that a few weeks ago. You remember that? Keeping it simple. Amen. Paul actually stated this concept in his letter to the Philippians. Listen to what he said. He said, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility," what does he say? "Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." But here's the big question that you and I should be pondering about now. How in the world are we supposed to do that? You ever thought about that? That's a pretty tall order, right? I mean, oh my goodness, how are we supposed to have the same love and spirit and mindset of Jesus Christ? And Paul gives us some very specific details in another letter that he wrote to another church, the Colossian church. And in chapter 3, he tells us why we even have the option to become like Christ. And he gives us some very practical and powerful action steps to achieve that goal. And we're going to take the first 17 verses of chapter 3, verse by verse, and look at some specific examples in the life of Christ. So let's get started. And I pray that you will be as excited about hearing these truths as I was discovering these truths in my study. And in Colossians 3:1, we find the first of two reasons that we have the ability to become like Christ. All right? We can become like Christ because, "Since then you have been raised with Christ," Paul says. Since then you have been raised with Christ. When we accept Jesus as our Savior into our lives by believing Him and calling on His name for salvation, then the work that Jesus did through His sacrifice on the cross and through His resurrection from the grave is applied to us, to our account. And next Sunday we'll be painting pictures through baptism of how this happens in our lives. Baptism doesn't save us, but it paints a beautiful picture of what Jesus did to save us. It paints the picture of Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection from the dead. And it paints the picture of how His precious blood washes away our sins because, as we read last week, I love this, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Y'all may have heard me talk about this before. Let me get a little drink of water here. There was a song that we used to sing back when I was a teenager based on the old King James version of this verse. And it goes like this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live by faith on the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Who loved me, who loved me, who loved me, and he gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. So that's some of the old courses that I was raised on, you know. Amen. And here's a powerful passage about being raised with Christ. Romans 6:3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live what? A new life. Do you see that? It says we too may live a new life. How cool is that? It's very cool indeed. But Paul is not finished with the cool, all right? Listen to the next two verses in Romans 6. It says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was what? Crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Do you realize how freeing that is? Do you realize how totally powerful and meaningful that is for each one of us? I mean, to know that our old self was crucified with Jesus so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. In fact, Peter put it this way. He said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a what? Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Paul will give us another reason why we have the ability to become like Christ in a minute, but he begins immediately giving us the action steps to becoming like Christ. And so as we look at the second part of Colossians 3:1, we discover action step number one, focus your heart on Jesus. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Beginning in March, we're going to have a series called Focus on the Heart based on a part of the Sermon on the Mount called the Beatitudes. But today I want you to understand that if you want to become like Jesus, then it is imperative that you take this first step. You must set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You must set your heart on Jesus and becoming like him. And remember what Jesus said. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you desire most in life? That's where your heart is. The psalmist gives us a way to make sure that the desires of our heart are right. He says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness or your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, in the Hebrew language, the subject-verb agreement is different than in the English language. And in the Hebrew, the context determines the translation. So verse 4 can be translated in two ways, all right? Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Or take delight in the Lord and he will give your heart its desires. All right. In other words, if your greatest delight is the Lord and you are spending time fellowshipping with him, then he will give your heart the right kind of desires. And then you can ask him to give you the desires of your heart. It'll be a no-brainer because he put those desires there. And so he'll give them to you. And so focus your heart on him. And Paul then gives us action step number two. Focus your mind on Jesus. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. I want to think like Christ. And what did he say in the model prayer known as the Lord's Prayer? He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to find out what's going on in heaven and ask God to do it down here. Amen. In order for us to make that happen in our lives, we must set our minds on things above and ask God to show us how to allow His will to be done in our lives here on earth as His will is done in heaven. And one of the best ways to do that is to become like Christ in our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions. You know, our minds never stop working even when we sleep, right? It's amazing. And one of the things we need to let God do is renew our minds. And as we've talked about before, the world spends countless hours and resources to influence our minds and our opinions. Oh, there's some tough things going on in our world right now. It's happening even in the libraries right here in St. Tammany. It's another topic for another day, but I've been in some meetings this week. Wow, unbelievable how the world is trying to influence our children. Folks, we need to allow God's Holy Spirit through the Word of God to renew and transform our minds. God's Word is plain on this. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, being transformed in our thoughts and attitudes to become more like Jesus is what is known as sanctification. Big church word, all right? Sanctification. And here's the definition of sanctification according to Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Sanctification, the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness. And it's accomplished by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Sanctification results in holiness or purification from the guilt and the power of sin. There's a guy named Oswald Chambers who was a Scottish minister who spoke at colleges, YMCAs, and was a British Army chaplain in Egypt during World War I. And he said this in the February 8th devotional of the devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest. He says, "Are we prepared for what sanctification cost? It will cost an intense narrowing of all our interest on earth and an immense broadening of all our interest in God." Sanctification, he goes on to say, means intense concentration on God's point of view. It means every power of body, soul, and spirit chained and kept for God's purpose only. Are we prepared for God to do in us all that He separated us for, separated from the world? And then after His work is done in us, are we prepared to separate ourselves to God even as Jesus did? Remember, He said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself." The reason some of us, He says, have not entered into the experience of sanctification is that we have not realized the meaning of sanctification from God's standpoint. Sanctification, He says, means being made one with Jesus so that the disposition that ruled Him will rule us. Are we prepared for what that will cost? It will cost everything that is not of God in us. Wow. In other words, sanctification is becoming like Christ. Wonderful reason to have that as a value, a core value for our church, for us as individuals. And then in our text, Paul gives us the second of the two reasons we have the ability to become like Christ. We can become like Christ because you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. What does it mean you died? It means that you have believed, if you have believed what Jesus did for you on the cross, then you are crucified with Christ, as we sang just a minute ago, and you died to sin, and you died to the selfish ways of this world. You were raised to walk a new life in Christ. And towards the end of the message today, we will remember what Jesus did in order to save us and to be able for us to have this new life and to become like Christ as we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. And let me tell you, if you've asked Jesus to come into your heart and life, and you've accepted Him as your Savior, then you can participate. You don't have to be a covenant member of the church. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you're welcome to celebrate that with us. And so those of you who have children and shore kids who have made the decision to follow Jesus and have been baptized, you'll be able to get them so they can participate. All right, I'll let you know when you can get them. And so we said and sang in that song a minute ago that this verse about being crucified with Christ, it's such a powerful thing. Because of that, Paul says that our life is now hidden with Christ in God. You ever thought about what that means? I believe that it means several things. First of all, our life is saved and we are now in the hand of God and no one can remove us from His hand. Jesus actually reassured His disciples with these words, and they are for any disciple and follower of Jesus, all right? He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And then secondly, I believe Paul is saying that we no longer live for ourselves and our own selfish wants and desires. Our old life has been done away with and our new life has begun. In fact, Paul put it this way in his letter to the Corinthians. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here." I love that. So our life is not hidden from the view of others, but it may indeed be hidden from their understanding because they don't get us. They don't understand us, a lot of times people in the world, right? God's word says, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God because they consider them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And you get the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus in your life. That's the way Jesus comes into your heart and life. Amen? By way of the Holy Spirit. Here's a beautiful thing about a person who is becoming like Christ. They are not prideful that they understand what others do not. They are grateful for grace, and they have an unceasing desire to help others find the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, and hope that they've found in Jesus. But that's the sermon, Making Christ Known, which will be our third core value. That's coming later. We'll have to wait on that one, all right? But Paul then gives us a beautiful truth before he continues our action list for becoming like Christ. Wonderful truth for believers. Ready for this? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. I certainly believe that Paul is talking about that glorious day when Christ returns to bring us home for eternity. Amen? But I also believe that as Christ becomes more of a focus in our lives, that the glory of Christ will become more and more evident in our lives here on the earth. And this is accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. And once again, Oswald Chambers has a powerful word. He says, "The one and only characteristic of the Holy Ghost in a man is a strong family likeness to Jesus Christ and freedom from everything that is unlike Him." That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts and lives. And Paul then continues with our action steps. Action step number 3, no longer focus on your earthly nature. He said, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." Wow. When you look at the list of things here that we are to no longer focus on, I'm left asking myself a question. Why did I ever think those things were okay to focus on in the first place? What was wrong with me? What was I thinking? Truth is, I was not thinking. I was just doing whatever I thought would bring me pleasure and happiness at the time, regardless of who it hurt, and forgetting about any kind of consequences. I was blinded by Satan and by sin and by the evil. And I'm so sad that I was ever focused on such things. But we're all sinners. And if it weren't for the gracious love and offer of forgiveness through Jesus, we'd all still be focused on things that destroy life rather than give life. In fact, Paul explained it perfectly in Romans 6:17 when he said, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." He says, I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. And he says, just as you used to offer yourselves to, as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And folks, this leads us to the only way we can ever hope to become like Jesus. Action step number 4, focus on becoming like Jesus. Paul says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and then our 3:10 verse, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Becoming like Christ. Let me read it to you again in the New Living Translation. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like him. Remember, a relationship with Jesus is not just about knowing Jesus, but knowing Jesus personally. And discipleship goes a step further. A true disciple is determined to become like Jesus. And that's what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus. And the meaning of disciple is to follow a teacher. And Jesus wants to teach us with his life and his words how we are to live. And those of us who are following Jesus should have a desire to lead others to follow Jesus. And one of the best ways to do this is with the way you live your life. In fact, Paul said this, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And in our text, Paul reminds us of this powerful truth. He says, here in the body of Christ, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Paul is saying that every one of us needs to focus on Jesus, and that in the body of Christ, if we're a part of the body of Christ, then Christ is in all of us that have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so it's all about Jesus. It's not about our past, whether we were super religious or super pagan. It's about the amazing grace that we have all been given in Jesus, the amazing grace that saves us from barbaric, self-serving paganism, and that grace that also saves us from slavery, whether actual slavery or slavery to sin. And amazing grace offers salvation from the judgment of the letter of the law, because none of us could ever be that good, circumcised or not. Amen? Christ is all and is in all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. In other words, becoming like Jesus is for all of us in the church. It's not just a personal core value, folks. It is a corporate core value for the body of Christ, becoming like Christ. And this leads us to Paul's final action step, which has a lot of many steps in it to take. Action step number 5, focus on living like Jesus. Therefore, Paul says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you want to look like Jesus, folks, you got to dress like Jesus. That's right. How many of you have a robe in your closet that you can wear so you can look like Jesus? Some of you are thinking, Pastor Larry has finally lost his mind. I'm going to walk around in some kind of robe that they wore in biblical times. Ain't going to happen. But hear me out. Paul said, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's being robed in the righteousness of Christ. And we read this in Isaiah. I delight greatly in the Lord, he says. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has what? Clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. You might ask, does Jesus have any other robes I can wear besides that compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience robe? Yeah, he does. Colossians 3:13, here's the next robe. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. There you go. And if you don't like either of those, you might need to go back and check the focus of your heart, your mind, your eyes, and your time. But here's the awesome thing. If you get your focus on Jesus, no matter how difficult your circumstances in life are, your new focus will cause you to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Peter Hite wrote these words in his book, Eternity Now, which is a book on the book of Revelations. He says, a song can sweep you away. You can lose yourself in a song. Christians have tried to surrender to the law of God by playing all the notes, but the score is so demanding it breaks them. And they have to surrender to the love of God, the grace of God, and the song of God, which is Jesus. We surrender to Jesus, the person of God, and He sings over us until His life begins to grow in us, and we sing back to Him. His life in us bears fruit. That's the song we sing to Him, the life we live for Him. In other words, we can't take these action steps on our own. We must have the Lord's help by way of His precious Holy Spirit, reminding us of how Jesus lived and empowering us to live as Jesus lived. Paul put it this way, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Our praise team is going to make their way back up to lead us. And as they do, if you have children that you'd like to participate in the Lord's Supper, you could make your way back there to get them now, okay? And when you come back in, you can just go ahead and go to one of the tables and get the bread and the juice. And so as we're getting ready, let me ask you this question. Shouldn't we make it our core value as a church and as followers of Christ, to have a heart that loves like Jesus and a mind that thinks like Jesus and a life that looks like Jesus? I think so. And let's never forget that the ability to do those things is because of His supreme example in His life on the earth and His extreme sacrifice through His death on the cross. The blood that He shed makes it possible for us to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, you could do so today. Simply admit that you have sinned and you need a Savior to forgive you. And believe that Jesus died on the cross to be that Savior, and then call upon His name. And then you can find that new life. Amen.